Well, good morning. Welcome to Adult Sunday School. It is my honor and privilege to be here once again before you to open up the bread of life. We're going to start with a word of prayer, and then I think we're going to go back into 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We've been out of there for a little while, and I think it's time to get back in there and see if we can get some things wrapped up here. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day of your grace, peace, and mercy, and long-suffering. We pray for our country, Lord, all of its leaders. We pray for all those all over the globe that have gathered today to come hear the Word of God taught, rightly divided. So we pray for those in the positions of leadership that are behind the pulpit, that you would hide them as well as me behind the cross. Let the Holy Spirit be the real teacher. And we can't thank you enough, Lord, for the guaranteed expectation that we have that one day you're going to come and redeem us from this sin-cursed world and give us glorified bodies that are going to be incapable of sin. So what a wonderful day that will be. So just watch over the rest of this service, and we give you all the praise and the honor and the glory because you're the only one worth it. And we ask these things with the full authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So the last time we were in 1 Corinthians 15, we had just finished verses like 35 through 41, talking about the different glories of the sun, the moon, the stars, terrestrial things and celestial things. So now I want to cover verses really 42 to 44. I don't know how much further we're going to get. I've been trying my best to keep these studies like 30-minute messages, but for some reason it seems like they always turn into an hour. So we'll see. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 42 to 44. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. So, what's the it referring to here? Right? So also is the resurrection that it is sown in corruption. The it is your body. Your body, okay? This is... So the concept here is when we place the body, which is the seed, into the ground, okay? So it is sown or planted in corruption. Now that corruption is talking about perishing or moral decay, okay? That's what these bodies are. Now if we go to Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3, someone want to read verses 17 through 19, Genesis chapter 3, 17 through 19.
And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, is it the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life? Thorns also and thistles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of thy field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, the dust thou art, and of dust shalt thou return.
So that's that perishing, right? That corruption. The earth itself is cursed and corrupt. The creation itself is cursed and corrupt. And man, you're going to return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, because you're made of dust or dirt, earthy things, and to the dust you're going to return. So that's that corruption, that's that perishing, that moral decay. Job 17. Let's go to Job 17. Job 17, and how about verse 14? Someone want to read verse 14? Job chapter 17, verse 14. And we're just looking at corruption and what it is.
I have said to corruption, thou art my father. To the worm, thou art my mother. And the sister.
So Job says that even he understood, right? I have said to corruption, that this decay, this perishing, that you are my Father. Okay? Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 23.
And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and forth into beasts, and creeping things.
So even Romans 1:21, right, says that man is corruptible, right? We are corruptible. Now Romans 8:21 says all of creation is in the bondage of corruption, right, or decay. That's Romans 8:21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. So even all of creation is in this, what the Bible calls the bondage of corruption or decay. Now this decay, this corruption, this perishing, right? It is a scientific fact, okay? It took man's wisdom a very long time to see this. And of course they gave it a name, and Romans talks about that, right? When they knew God, they glorified him not as God. They don't want to acknowledge that God talked about this decay thousands of years ago, okay? About this decay and this corruption. Now do you know what the scientists name for what they see? It's called the second law of thermodynamics, and it's called the law of entropy. Okay, that means that everything is in a state of decay and chaos. Nothing gets better over time. Everything is in a state of decay from the original creation. Yes, ma'am.
Could you turn the mic on so we could hear back there, please? Thank you.
Is it on? The little light's on. Yeah. Maybe I have to have it a little closer. Can you hear it now? Is it on, Miss Myrtle?
Yes.
Okay. So it's the second law of thermodynamics, and it's called the law of entropy, okay? And you can look that up if you want. Now, do you know what God calls it, this bondage of corruption? What do you think the biblical term for it is? Very good. And where would we find the definition of this bondage of corruption? How about Romans chapter 8 and verse 2? Somebody want to read Romans chapter 8 and verse 2?
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death.
So that's what the Bible calls this, what scientists call the law of entropy, or the second law of thermodynamics. The Bible calls it's the law of sin and death, right? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. You eat of this fruit, you're going to die, you're going to perish. All of creation is in a state of perishing, right? And we can look around, we can see that. Those of us that are a little older, we can testify that the fact that, we're perishing, right? We're in a state of corruption. So that body, this body that we're living in, is subject to that law of sin and death. Our bodies are, right? It's subject to the physical laws, what they call the law of entropy, the second law of thermodynamics. Now, it's going to be raised in incorruption. Now, what do you think that means? This body is subject to all the laws of the natural world, right? Because we're talking about there's natural bodies and there's spiritual bodies. So it's going to be raised in incorruption. So it's going to be a body that is not subject to the law of sin and death, okay? It's not going to be subject to the law of entropy, right? That glorified body that we're going to get. It's planted in this corruptible state, but it's going to be raised in an incorruptible state. It's no longer going to be subject to these natural laws. Okay? Back to 1 Corinthians 15. So, it is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, and it is raised in glory. So it is going to be sown in dishonor. Another word for that would be vile, right? I think the Bible calls it, Paul says, this vile body. Shame is another word. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And I'll read verses 20 to 32. So we're talking about these bodies in the state of dishonor that they are, the vileness and the shame. Romans 1 verse 20, we'll start there, 20 to 32. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible men, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creation more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. So God gave them up, right? They didn't want to honor God. They wanted to dishonor him. So he's like, all right, go. You don't want to give me any honor? Then here, you dishonor yourselves, and I'll give you over to a reprobate mind, and you can dishonor yourselves by yourselves. And likewise, for this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. So there's a couple of our words here, right? Vile, dishonor. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which is fit for how they acted. You go ahead and dishonor yourselves among yourselves. And this is how far shame and dishonor and vileness that this body is capable of and human beings are capable of. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That is a dishonorable lifestyle, is what that is, right? And it's not just that first part that we read, women with women and men with men, right? People tend to stop at that and think, oh, that's dishonorable. So is the rest of this. So is being disobedient to your parents. That dishonors God. That's a shame for a young person to dishonor his parents, okay? Yes, which is the first commandment with promise. So we're looking at this dishonor, okay? Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 21. Right? It's going to be sown in dishonor, vile, shame. Romans 6:21. So what fruit had you in those things whereof you are now ashamed? Right? The end of those things is death. Yeah, I think Pastor Stam called it the dishonorable discharge of the old man. Right? I think that's a good term. So it's going to be sown in dishonor, right? These are dishonorable things that this body is capable of doing and does do. But it says it's going to be raised in glory. It's going to be raised in glory or honor, that new body. Go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We're all familiar with this one. We like to talk about this, talking about our future. For our citizenship, right, our home is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So it's going to be raised with glory, with some honor to it. These are dishonorable bodies. They're going to be raised with some honor to it, some value, right? Some glory. How about John? John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse. So I believe what he's talking about here, when he's talking about it's going to be raised in glory and honor, we're not talking about that shining glory that, like we talked about in the previous verses, talking about how the stars differ in their glory. I think really the glory and the honor that is talking about here, I think John chapter 5 verse 44, that's the kind of glory and honor that we're looking at. The Lord said, "How can you believe me, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that comes from God only?" We're going to be raised in bodies that not only honor God, but that God honors. Right? That's the kind of honor and glory that it's going to be raised with. Something that the Lord can be proud of. a new body. John chapter 7. John chapter 7 and verse 18. He that speaketh of himself seeks his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. John 8:54, next chapter over. John chapter 8, verse 54. Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom you say that he is your God." I think that's the kind of honor and glory that we're talking about here being raised. And then John chapter 12. Verses 42 and 43. John 12, 42 and 43. "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise," or the honor, right, "of men more than the praise of God." I think that's the kind of honor and glory that we're talking about here. We're going to be raised in dishonor, or sown in dishonor, but raised in glory. Raised in a body that truly honors the Lord Jesus Christ, and a body that God will honor, right? God is going to honor his promise to us by giving us these things, right? He's honoring his word. So I think that's the kind of honor that we're talking about here. And then if we go to Romans chapter 2, Romans chapter 2 and verse 7. I think we're going to have a couple of these things in this one verse. Romans chapter 2 and verse 7. "To them who by patient, continuous, and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life." Right? That's talking about the eternal state. Right? Those who by patient, continuance, and well-doing seek for glory. Are we seeking our own glory? No, we're seeking God's glory, right? We want God to be proud of us in how we're acting. You're seeking for glory and honor and immortality, right? Eternal life. "But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that does evil," right? There's nothing honorable about what's coming for them, either in this life or the next. So back to 1 Corinthians 15. So it is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory, it is sown in weakness, and it is raised in power. Now the word, now weakness here, I believe we're talking about infirmity, disease, sickness, right? Lack of strength. That's how weak, that's the weak that's being portrayed here. So if we go to Luke 13, because I don't think the weakness here is talking about you can't lift 500 pounds. I don't think that's what the Bible is trying to tell us here. It's not the weakness that you can't run through a wall or you can't, you know, fly. I don't think that's the weakness that's being talked about here, because this word is used as sickness, infirmity, disease, lack of strength. So Luke chapter 13, verses 11 through 13, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. Right? She was not capable, had not the strength to straighten herself out. Right? That's the kind of weak because of this disease, because of this infirmity. And when Jesus saw her, he called on her and he said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. And he laid hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. So that's an example, I think, of that weakness, that these bodies, right? We can't wish our back was better. We can't close our eyes and make our back better. We can't close our eyes and make cancer go away. You know, we can't do it. We're weak. We have no strength to do that. We have no ability to do that. Matthew 26. Matthew 26. And we're going to look at verse 41. Now we all know this one, right? And he cometh, we'll start in verse 40. Matthew 26, verse 40. Ready? And he cometh unto the disciples, and he found them asleep, right? This is when he went to pray. And saith Peter, what, you could not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but what is weak? The flesh is weak, right? The flesh is weak. It needs to sleep, right? It's not able to perform the way we put a lot of stock in these bodies when we're younger, right? But it's really weak. Right. In the end, have you ever watched someone go through cancer? Mm-hmm. At the end of their life, that flesh can't do nothing for them. Mm-hmm. They can't do anything. They can't even eat. Right? It shows you how weak the flesh really is. We take so much stock in our lives to take care of this thing, right? People invest a lot of time and money into this thing, when in the end, it's weak. It's weak. It can't help you. It can't help you please God, right? Those that are in the flesh cannot please God. Not saying that we should totally not take care of the bodies that God gave us, right? But don't go overboard and start worshiping your body, and that's what a lot of people are doing. They're worshiping a weakness. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. We'll look at verse 18. Well, we'll start in verse 17. And we all know this argument that Paul had, right? For now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I find myself doing. Right? Even verse 24, right? O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That's, the flesh is weak. Okay, that's the kind of weakness we're talking about here. Not strength, because the glory of young man, right? is their strength, right? When we're young, we're happy because we're lifting up things, and that's the young man's glory, right? That glory fades. We can't lift as much as we used to when we get older because of the weakness of this flesh. And then Romans chapter 8, the next chapter over, Romans chapter 8. In verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, right? The flesh has no strength, no ability to save us, right? And we all know that as grace believers. But there are many people out there that don't understand that, the real weakness. You know, they think that their flesh can do something to please God, to save their souls. You can't even change one color of the hair on your head. You can't make yourself grow one cubit, it says. I think it's from your pinky to your forearm. But even this much. I mean, you could go to get surgery and have your bones lengthened to get a little taller, right? But you can't close your eyes and make one hair change color on your head. You can have it colored. You can have it colored. So that's that weakness, I believe, that he's talking about here. It's just that infirmity, the disease, we're subject to all these things, and just the lack of ability to save ourselves, right? That's that weakness. So it's going to be sown in weakness, and it is going to be raised in power, strength, I think virtue and ability. Those are the words that I believe that this power is talking about here. So let's look at Romans chapter 1. So the weakness and raised in power, I don't think this power is talking about some of the miraculous things that God entitled the nation, you know, members of the nation of Israel. I don't think that's not the kind of power this is talking about here. I think it's Romans chapter 1, verse 4, right? And declared to be the Son. Well, we'll start in verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. I think that's the kind of power that we're talking about here, raised in that real spirit of holiness, truly set apart unto the Lord Jesus Christ with strength and ability to do like we want to do, right? I only always want to do what's right. That's my desire. I only always want to do those things that please the Lord. And I hope that that's yours too. It better be yours. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Raised in power. But you shall receive power. He's talking to the 12 here. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So that power that was given them to do what? To preach, right? Right. It's come upon you so you can be witnesses for me. Now, granted, some of that power along with that witness was those supernatural signs, okay? But I don't think that that's the kind of power that we're going to be raised with. I don't think that that's what that's talking about here. I think it's the ability, right? The ability to serve. To really serve Him the way that we want to serve Him. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. We'll start at 37. Acts chapter 10, 37. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of these things, which he both did in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. But him God raised up the third day. Right? So it's that power. He went about what? Doing good. I think that's the kind of power that we're going to be raised with. To do those things that are always good. Always righteous. The ability to always do the right thing. Right? The ability to please God and be the son or daughter that we want to be. Okay? I think that's the power that we're going to be raised with. Because we're going to be given a body that's not subject to these things. The sin nature. The law of entropy. That's the law of sin and death. We're going to be given bodies that are incorruptible. There's going to be no more room for corruption. We're not going to be have a body that's subject to the laws of sin and death, right? We're going to be raised with bodies that have glory and honor to them. And we're never going to be able to dishonor our Father or our Savior or ourselves, right? And we're going to be raised in power, the ability to actually do it, right? Because we're still living in these bodies and we still want to do those things that always please the Lord. Do we always please the Lord in the things that we do? We don't, because we're still in these bodies. Okay? So there is a natural body, right? And a spiritual body. That's our next verse, back to 1 Corinthians 15. So it is sown in corruption, verse 42, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory or honor. It is sown in weakness, and then it is raised in power or strength and ability. It is sown a natural body, and it is raised a spiritual body, because there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. So the natural body, right? The natural body is subject to all of the above, right? The natural body that we have is subject to corruption, dishonor, weakness, right? That's that Adamic nature. That's further up in our chapter here, right? That we studied. You're either in Adam or you're in Christ, right? So it's that old Adamic nature, right? These bodies. That's the natural body. I think that's what that word natural there is talking about. Go to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Right, that natural body is subject to the above things, and it has an appetite, right? We have an insatiable appetite for everything, right? Some people's, God calls it, your God is your belly, right? It's your appetite, going after this thing and that thing. We have a sensual nature, right? And I think James chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. See, this wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So I think that's a good definition of that sensual Adamic body. It's sensual, devilish, earthly, cares about earthly things, right? Adam was made of the earth. He's made of earthly things, right? I think that's further down, right? The first man, Adam, is of the earth. He's made of the earth, and the second man is the Lord from heaven, right? The Lord Jesus Christ, right? You have your natural body and spiritual body, Adam and Christ. That's what I see. So the spiritual body, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Like unto his glorious body, right? A body that is filled or governed by the Spirit of God, okay? A body that is all the above, right? Incorruptible. A body that's glorious, that has honor, and a body that's has power or ability and strength. And then let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 1 through 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house made not with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tabernacle, in this tent, we groan, right? Earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven, right? In these bodies, we have decay and corruption and dishonor and weakness. So we earnestly desire to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. And if so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened by all the physical laws of entropy and sin and death and weakness, right? We're burdened by those things. Not that we would want to be unclothed, but clothed upon, right? That mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought for us the selfsame thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit, right? That's that down payment. The moment that you trusted in the death, burial, and the moment you trusted in the first four verses of this chapter, which is the gospel, right? You were given that earnest of the Spirit, right? And given a brand new life. And that's a guarantee that one of these days you are going to get a body that's fit for the plan and purpose that God has for you in the heavenlies, okay? Back to 1 Corinthians 15. So it is, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, verse 42, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Does that make sense? Now, say, wow, man, that's pretty great, Brother Ray. We got a bright future, right? But what about the here and now? What about the here and now, right? How does that help me now, knowing those things, right? We got a bright future. I told you throughout all this chapter, I see a future, and I also see a here and now aspect to these things. And I also see dispensational aspects to this chapter and this verse. So how does that help me now? Well, I'm glad you asked. Speaking of being sown or planted and raised, let me ask you, have you placed your personal faith in the first four verses of this chapter? I think everyone here will say yes, right? Someone want to read the first four verses of 1 Corinthians 15? Verses 1 to 4.
Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures.
That is the gospel. Have you believed in this gospel of God's grace? Have you placed your faith in this gospel of grace? If so, then let's go to Romans chapter 6. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. So speaking of being planted and being raised, Romans chapter 6, know ye not, we'll start in verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized or identified into Jesus Christ were identified into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism or identification unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, right, that our old man is what? Is crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be destroyed, that we should henceforth not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more, death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. So likewise reckon you yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, is that future, or is that a here and now reality? That's a here and now reality, right? You have been planted because of your faith in that finished work. God planted you in Christ's death. He was dying your death. You died with Christ, right? You were buried with him, and you have been raised. You have been raised. That's not just future. That's a here and now truth, right? How about Colossians? Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. Colossians 2:12 says we are buried with him in that identification, in that baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who has raised him from the dead. Is that future, or is that here and now? That's here and now. That happened the moment that you trusted Christ as your Savior. How about Colossians chapter 3 in verse 1? Colossians chapter 3 verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, is that future or is that now? That's now. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's not just future, folks. That's a here and now, right? How about 1 Peter? Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'll read verses 18 through 25. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, right? Like silver and gold from your vain conversation or the received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again. Right? Have you been born again? Yes, we have. I'm not going to argue about the terms here. We are born again. Right? We've gone from the natural body into a spiritual body that's called the body of Christ. We've been born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible. Right? That gospel of grace is an incorruptible thing because it's the Word of God, which lives and abides forever and ever. For all the flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower thereof falleth away, right? Is subject to that law. But the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. That's not a future, that's a here and now fact, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, right? Because we're talking about planting, right? That seed that was planted, it's incorruptible. What's been born, what you've been turned into because of your faith in that finished work. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says what? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, right? You're no longer in Adam. You're no longer in that natural body. You've been made partakers of a spiritual body, the body of Christ. It says, you are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Is that future, or is that here and now, reality? That's here and now. That's here and now, folks. Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Colossians 3, 9 and 10. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. You become a brand new creation. You become a brand new man or woman, right? You've been partakers of the one new man, which is the body of Christ, who Christ is the head. But you're an individual member. You're a brand new man or a brand new woman. That's what this life is called. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to have to fly now because we're running out of time. I thought it was going to be short, sorry. Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. Your inner man is not subject to the second law of thermodynamics. Your inner man is incorruptible thing. That's a brand new creation. You are who God has made you to be. That's a here and now. We don't got to wait for the future. The only thing we're waiting for in the future is a body that's going to match the inner man and inner woman. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 and 10. But you are not in the flesh, right? But in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So, is the new inner man, is that new inner man subject to the second law of thermodynamics, the law of sin and death? It is not. It is not subject. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 16 through 18. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perishes, right? Because this body is still subject, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. And you know what that renewed, one of the definitions of that word renewed means? Changed into a new kind of life as opposed to the former corrupt state. Your new man, your new woman defies the natural laws of science and physics and entropy. It's something that scientists cannot explain because it defies the natural laws of this world. Your new man and your new woman. So how about glory and honor? Let's look at that real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 and 7. Go up. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 4 through 12. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with this gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which tries our hearts. We have been allowed and have been put in trust with this wonderful message. So, how about power and ability? Right? These things are here and now, not just future. If we've been allowed to be put in trust with the gospel, and this is the gospel that takes people from death to life, and makes them a brand new creation, can we not raise the dead? Not the way most people think, but we are allowed to be put in trust with this glorious gospel. And we have the ability, because we have mouths, to speak and share this truth with people. So we do have an ability that's not, we're not talking about just future, we're talking about there's a here and now. Romans chapter 1. Almost done. Romans chapter 1, 15 and 16. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Are you ready to preach the gospel to those that are in your neighborhood? I hope you are. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, right? But unto us which are saved, it is the very power of God. So we have the ability to raise the dead with this message if we're willing to preach it. And we're willing. That's a here and now reality. Okay? Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 23. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might, dominion, and every authority that is named, not only in this world but in the world to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That same resurrection power that Christ, that God wrought when he raised Christ from the dead, is that same power that he has wrought in your life. When Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, you think he's talking about a future? Or is he talking about the here and now? I think he's talking about the here and now. I want to be conformed more and more to the image. I want to know more about this power that this message has to change people's lives and give them dignity, right? Honor. Give you an uncorruptible inner man. Make you part of a brand new creation called the body of Christ, where not even death can separate us from that, right? That's what the scripture says. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, last reference here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Oh, we already did that one. So we have a message to share with people, right? That not only gives them a bright future, but it gives them a here and now life that defies the very laws of nature. Here and now life that has glory, right? Honor, power, and strength. That's the here and now aspect that I want you to take away from this. So how does that chapter help me? Because I have it here and now, and I can enjoy it. And the only thing we're waiting for is for bodies that are going to match the inner man and inner woman that we are. That's why God says, bodily exercise profiteth little. Exercise thyself rather unto what? Godliness, right? This outer man might be perishing, but you know what? I want my inner man to be ripped. I want to be able to shred cheese on the abs of my inner man. And one of these days, we're going to get bodies that are fit for our inner man and our inner woman. So let's do everything that we can to strengthen that inner man and that inner woman. So when we do get that body that fits it, it's going to fit it well. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day of your grace. We thank you for the reality of the resurrection in our lives that helps us in the here and now. Not only do we have a bright future, but we have all these things that you've given us to help us to know the power of that resurrection, that we can start enjoying it right here and right now, the moment that we believe. So just help us to be good testimonies. Watch over Pastor Ricky as he prepares for the next message. And I just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to share with those my current understanding of your word. And I just thank you in the Savior's name. Amen.
Amen.